Welcome to another episode of the Inner Man Show, a podcast by men for men. If you're looking to expand your personal development, starting with your mental health, then this is the show for you. The Inner Man Show is a podcast based off our nonprofit organization, the Inner Man Project Foundation.
The Inner Man Foundation's main goal and purpose is to shine a light on the darkness that is mental health. Through drop-in peer groups, personal development programs, and our online private forum, the Inner Man Project Foundation strives to bring free, affordable, and meaningful programs to Mess and Hat and surrounding area. You can visit our website at www.theinnermanproject.com.
You can also find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TheInnerManProjectFoundation. Sorry, The Inner Man Project. As well as Twitter and Instagram at InnerManYXH. Fans of the show, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, we are no longer running ads. For the time being, we are no longer running ads for the podcast. We want to give you, the listeners, a quality show with great topics and guests. And all we ask for is that you share, like, and leave a comment and subscribe to the show. The Inner Man Project Foundation is also accepting donations at this time as we're raising funds for our 2022 community programs.
Whether it's $1 or $1,000, every little bit helps. Again, the website is www.theinnermanproject.com. Click on the donation tab and it will direct you to our email. You can also send a direct email to innermanyxh@gmail.com for more information.
So today, boys, we don't have a guest in the studio, but it is a Q&A, and you guys have some topics to discuss with the Intergenerational Trauma Treatment Model, the ITTM program. Tonight was the last night of the pilot program until we open our registration for January.
So we didn't do the full 8 weeks. We condensed it to four. Condensed
it into three.
Was it three?
Yeah, I think so.
My brain is just scrambled with all this stuff. So it was really received well, I believe. A lot of the professionals that joined us were really intrigued. A lot of people want to send people our way, so that was exciting news. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of shine a little bit of the light of what we went over today, and Rod was a part of it, so he'll help me do that. So one of the main things that we talked about today was something we call the quote-unquote anger bucket. Rod, can you explain what the anger bucket is and what it all entails?
Yeah, so the angry bucket, I guess, is when you start your day. I'll actually use it. So at the beginning of the day, you wake up, you jump into your vehicle, put your coffee on, even say the roof of your vehicle, driveway, coffee spills all over. Now you're pissed off that, and then you feel a little bit of anger into your bucket. And then now you're running late because you got to run back inside, pick up your coffee, get a new coffee. Now you're late. Your boss says, "What the hell? Why are you late?" You're even more angrier. You get to your desk. You got all these papers that you thought you were supposed to get done. You add a little bit more. Sooner or later, that bucket gets all the way overfilled. And let's say you go to Tim Hortons and you're getting a double-double and they give you 1-2. And you snap. Mm-hmm. So after a so long time, when you fill your bucket, it's going to overflow at some point or another. We talk about how to release that anger throughout the day, but not like raging out at people.
Yeah, so acknowledging what's going on.
Yeah.
Acknowledging all the problems that are happening, but not letting that build up, stopping and dealing with that problem before it escalates.
Right? Yeah.
So it's called the anger release program.
Yeah.
So that's what it was called. What would you describe? How could you release that stuff? Like, what are some ways people can do that?
You could go work out, go for a run, go walk, play. The example I use.
Deep breathing.
Yeah. Deep breathing. I think Renee said it was four. Yeah. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, release for 4 seconds. Do that for like a minute or so, and it usually should hypothetically calm you down.
Yeah, let you go. Let's go of what is bothering you, that doesn't fill that bucket even further.
Totally. The example I gave to you after the class, we'll call it, was there's 1,140 seconds in a day. If I gave you, Dylan, say $1,140, and I came up to you and took 10, mm-hmm. Are you just going to throw the rest of that $1,130 away because I took $10?
Right.
Most people would say, well, no. Still $1,100. And then the way to look at that is these are seconds in your day. Right. So why are you going to let someone who makes you mad or a situation gets you pissed off for 10 seconds ruin their other 1,100 seconds of your day?
Totally. Yeah, the way I...
think of that as just like, you know, how many times have you been through a drive-through at Tim Hortons in the morning and people are already honking their horns and yelling at the people in the drive-through? It's like, guy, it's 7:45 in the morning. Calm down.
I've got time for your shit.
Yeah. Or personally, you know, and I know you guys can attest to this because you guys are dads. You've woken up, been on the wrong side of the bed, and the kids, within 3 hours of the start of the day, they've pissed you off for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been there, right? We've all been there. And for me, when I realized I had an anger issue, I realized that analogy, the anger bucket, that's the best way to put it. Yeah. Because it was just, oh, here's another little bit. Here's another. It's overflowing. Yeah. By the time you even looked in the bucket, it was already a disaster.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it was just like, now that I look back on it, it was like, I realized that I was letting so many little tiny details destroy my day. You use the minute analogy
And if you let your bucket, like the time that your bucket's overflowed, it's game over. It's too late.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to reconcile that day. Mm-hmm. You've let it go too far. Mm-hmm. So that's when your day is officially ruined. And that is, there's pretty much no coming back from that. That's when the total explosion comes, and that's when, you know, the build explode that I've explained over a lot of the other podcasts that we've done, have done. Woof.
It was a long day.
But that's essentially what I'm saying is you're basically just going to let that dictate your day and it's game over. So that's how you have to use that anger release program to really make sure that that you don't get to that point.
Yeah. Have you guys ever looked into who Brennan Bouchard is? He's a performance habits coach. One of the individuals actually who we were talking to up in Calgary, he mentioned him in group and drop in one night. And what he talks about is transitions, because a lot of people, they do so many things in a day, right? You're doing paperwork, you're making a phone call, you get a text message from the wife, you got to go pick up the kids, and you got to go pick up the kids, and you're doing this and you're doing that. And then you add in the bucket analogy and you start thinking of all the things that could anger you. And one of the things that I've noticed that helped me is when I do something different, like today, for example, I had to drop off the twins. I had to run to the police station. I had to run to the doctor's appointment. I had to go all over the place. And every time I did something, I would take like you said, 4 or 5 deep breaths and just transition. Okay. That one's done. Check mark.
Yeah.
On to the next
Acknowledge
one.
Acknowledge it. Yeah. Deal with it. Move on.
Right. And I felt like that transition helps me a lot to stay focused throughout the day and not focus on the shit that goes south.
Yeah.
I appreciate the deals that we get at Staples. Yep. Okay. Staples, they're great staff, great people. I was telling Rod today, they might as well put me on payroll at this point.
A1.
Okay.
Yeah. So A1
organization. That was this the second time in 2 months that I've had to go behind the counter and show them how to do their job. And like I said, great people to work with, and they allow me to go behind the counter to help them. So, but like past Dylan, that would have been like angry, pissed off, yelling at people, probably kicked out of the store. You know, if it got bad enough, or I would have been so mad the rest of the day that I would have just taken it out on everybody else.
No.
And like, yeah, those, that transition, right? I like that analogy, the anger bucket. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. It was really, I mean, I've been a victim of this. I've let my bucket overflow a lot of times.
Right.
And, honestly, just acknowledging it is a huge part of it. It's just like, okay, this made me upset. Let's move on, because there's no reason to dwell on it. There's no reason to carry on. It's something small. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of have that self-awareness, it makes that big deal.
Right. Right. And how overall with the program, how did everyone receive it? What was the good? What was something we could work on? What are we looking forward to in January?
Well, I think the people in it were a little too friendly. No one really gave us negative feedback. Well, Renee's a rock star. I'm still learning. I'll be the first to admit that. I have a little bit to go. The worst thing I could have done is learn phase B, which I can't administer to anyone because I'm not a physician.
Right.
So I mixed everything I learned into one. Mm-hmm. So I was a little confused at what messaging we were trying to deliver. And I was like, why aren't we talking about this? And then I was like, oh, it's because that's in a different phase. And so I was a little confused. Right. So a lot of it, like Renee did the bulk of everything. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of a student in it as well. And I tried to kind of alleviate when she was turning the page and talk about my own examples and stuff like that. And, you know, I learned a lot, even extra from doing it, but I'm dedicated to actually being fully, you know, I guess, informed of what I'm going to be talking about come January when we run this program.
Right.
But yeah, I just needed to suppress the phase B that I learned because that was a mistake I should have never learned.
So for you, Shane, it was more like, I'm going to be the support cast, but I'm absorbing as much knowledge as I can from Renee.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. Yes.
That's yeah. awesome, man. Yeah. That's awesome. And how did you feel about it?
I liked it. It was informative. The only downfall is that we condensed it from a 6-week course into 3.
That's a lot of information.
Yeah. And we could see that like a lot of these professionals, they didn't want to like, they have a lot of, they do a lot of work. They have mm-hmm. a lot of jobs. They have a lot of commitments mm-hmm. outside of their own jobs. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to make it, you know, a lot of these individuals knew what we were talking about
yeah.
for mm-hmm. the most part, and they didn't need it. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why, you know,
we condensed it
and,
yeah.
and, mm-hmm. and I could see how that is an issue for mm-hmm. sure. So, we will be ready. We're ready to go. And we didn't go over a lot of the therapy stuff that we normally would with the clients that mm-hmm. need it. So right. that, you know, that didn't take up a lot of the time either.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the best way to describe it is we got the meat and potatoes.
That's exactly.
Yeah, we didn't get any of the salads and the sides, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But like we could kind of tell that some of the individuals were like, "Hey, let's just get to this. Let's mm-hmm. get to this." And so that's what we did. But it doesn't take away from what was taught, the information that was put out. It was all the meat and potatoes was the best part of it.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when we get to the clientele that actually need it, then we spend more.
Yeah. Well, Renee gave us a heads up on that one too. Like last week, like we're going to give you guys like the gist of it. Mm-hmm. And then when we do it in January, we'll be going deeper involved into, the 5 paths and
the pathways.
Pathways. Yeah, yeah. I think there's 4 or 5.
5.
Yeah. yeah. And then this one we'll go through more on the anger bucket and the behavior wheel was another one.
Yeah. Behavior loop.
Yep. When you go, like, just touching on it, you can see, like, the professionals, because I was sitting in the back of the thing and keeping watching everybody, and you can see the professionals, like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Well, we even had people bringing it to their kids that mm-hmm. they work with, and they're like, yeah, I use this for this, and we're just like, awesome, that's exactly what this was for, and they resonated with it so well, like, the thoughts, feelings, actions, mm-hmm. like, that was a huge thing. We didn't really talk about that on here, but, really excited. A lot of good feedback. A lot of people already like this family would be useful. This family needs this. This family needs this. This family needs
this. This guy needs it. Yeah.
And I can honestly say every single person in this world can benefit from this program one way or another.
Yeah. When we discussed beforehand and you kind of broke it down for me, I was like, man, this is something that I think even, just as a parent, every parent should learn.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we're going to use the meat and potatoes analogy, we know that it tastes good, right?
Yeah.
So
we
know that this works. We know, you know, the information that Renee is giving and the guy, the information that you're giving out, Shane, that this is information that anybody can use and benefit from. Yeah. And when you talk about the professionals, you know, and they said, you know, a lot of these individuals already know this stuff. Well, it's great for a refresher for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. It's just like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this technique. Or I might do this technique. That's just a different name. This is how I do it, guys. Right. Mm-hmm. I look at courses like this as just a great learning experience and a refresher for people. Right. Yeah. So, no, I think this is going to be great. And for the listeners out there, this is a huge reason why we are looking for donations is for this specific program.
We don't want people to have to pay for it.
Yeah, we want to keep the doors open. We want to keep the volunteer aspect and the free, affordable programming that the Inner Man has prided itself on for the last, you know, 14, 15 months. We want to keep that going, right?
So, yeah, and the best part about this, it has 20 years evidence-based practice. It's well known in more North America, so America and over in the Ontario area.
I Googled it the other day.
Yeah.
Just so you know. And it's all over different counties.
There's a thousand different places, but it's mostly in the States, which is wild because Valerie Copping, who created the program, is based out of
Canadian and Ontario.
She's Canadian and Ontario. And mm-hmm. I want to say the city. And for some reason, every single time I go back to Raleigh, mm-hmm. but that's in Carolina. Right. So, what is it called? Doesn't matter.
I know Raleigh is a big city that uses it. There's like several programs because when you Google it and you go to the images and whatever else,
it's heavily based in the States.
But
like we are the first people, at least that we're aware of in Western Canada, that is bringing it to us, and we're willing to travel wherever our Inner Man spots are. So, you know, Calgary, when we get into Edmonton and those areas, Lethbridge, hopefully. And
totally.
It's a slow process, but right now we want to take care of our own community.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So again, guys, any sort of donation will help for this program to keep the lights on and the doors open. The email is innermanyxh@gmail.com, or you can just go to the website and donate there. It's www.theinnermanproject.com. Guys, tonight we are doing a Q&A. We have 8 questions tonight. We got a list, so we're going to go through this, and I kind of want to pick your brains on each of them. I'll kind of give a side note after we're done here, but we're going to start with one that, you know, I'm not too sure how much you've learned about this in school. I know this is something that you suffer with. You know people who have suffered with it, and it's a big one being in as a first responder. The question is, how does one cope with PTSD on an everyday basis?
Oh, geez, that's a loaded question. Right. Some days are better than the others. That's for sure. Acknowledging it, you know, really acknowledging it, saying, yeah, I have PTSD, and actually acknowledging it are two different things.
Right. Right.
What I mean by that is actually taking by the horns. And like when you're going through your struggles, you have to learn about it. You have to keep yourself informed, and to learn skills. Like it's not something that you can just cope with on your own. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to learn skills about. There's something that you have to learn about yourself, what works best for you. Cause there's so many different practices out there that can help individuals. So for me to blanket and say, this is what's going to help you, I can't do that.
Yeah. Every single person is different.
That's right.
You could have one person, that deals with it by going out and lifting weights.
That's how I deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you can have another person who goes on a half hour walk.
Meditates.
Another person. I mean, those are all positive ones. And then you got the other side of it where the PTSD, where you're doing negative effects to
substance abuse,
drinking, you know, drugs.
Yeah. So you can see how easily when you're not cultivating these good habits and using negative outlets, how easy it could be to slip into another mental health issue, which would be addiction.
And that's what comes back to the acknowledgement. So like if you acknowledge it and you understand it and you're well aware and you want to deal with it, you're going to avoid those things because you're going to be like, okay, I understand this is what I'm dealing with. This is how, these are the options that are available to me, along with counseling and EDMR and all that kind of stuff are huge components of, an ITTM, huge components helped me a ton, It learns about my past traumas that, you know, that just build on top of other traumas.
So that's another one, recognizing your past traumas.
Right? 100%.
Right. So, not just the significant event that triggered your PTSD, but what could have led up to that. And that said, oh, that one specific event was catapulted the complexity of my PTSD because of all these other traumas, right?
That's right. And reverting to the past and how you dealt with things when you were younger is always how you go back to and let that trauma is dealt with. That is what we learned through
ITT. Yeah. Another one is to recognize your triggers.
100%.
That would send you back to that, right?
Not an easy thing to do.
No.
Because you could think that you have it all figured out and then something else all of a sudden.
And you revert back.
Understanding when you're triggered. That's a major thing too.
Yeah. Like whether it's anger or sadness or whatever, the feeling of emotion that just overwhelms you. You know, we've had, Matt St. Pierre has been on the podcast. He's talked about his struggles with his PTSD. And, you know, when we were at the Innerman retreat, we got to see his PTSD struggles firsthand and his triggers. But what was great about that is it circles back to what you had said. It's the acknowledgement. Yep. He acknowledged that he was, you know, on the verge of having a panic attack. He was feeling overwhelmed. And then he talked about it. He was fine.
He moved past it.
So, but also, which leads me to my point is that support system, right? So any sort of mental health issue that you have, these guys are, that was in sync. That was perfect. They're just copying each other over here. Same drink, same hand, same distance. Oh, that was hilarious.
Teamwork.
Makes the dream work. By having the right people around you to basically say, hey, like, I love you, Rod, but this is one of the things I'm noticing. Can we work on this together? Hey, Shane, I'm noticing that you're a lot more angrier at this part of the day. What's happening beforehand? Let's figure this out. And just the biggest thing that I've come to realize with mental health and addiction or PTSD is just calling a spade, man. Just, it is what it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not going to miraculously be better. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about addiction recently. And, you know, one of the things that I said is like, the second that you can recognize and understand that you are sick and this is an addiction, that's when that person's going to be able to get the help that they need. Totally. Because if you're just saying it's a because of this or because of that,
when you're building excuses, you're not going to get anywhere.
You're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a really good answer, guys. That was great. And for who, like, we don't name anybody on this anymore, but, I hope that gives you an answer. Basically the summary of it is everyone's different.
Yeah.
Get the right support system.
Learn and about
figure out what works best for you.
Be open-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does one let go of holding on to negative habits and complacency? So when I read that, the first thing I think of is, how does one move past, you know, continuously doing the same shit that doesn't get him anywhere?
It's called a behavior loop.
Yeah.
Another thing we learned in ITTM. So basically what a behavior loop is, understanding it. So understanding what the main issue is that you're dealing with. Right. So what a behavior loop is, you'll literally, it's the thoughts, feelings, and actions. Everything follows those three things. The main component is your thought. That is what is going to change your behavior. Mm-hmm. So if you have the same thought every single time, the same behavior every time, and the same action every time, you're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And easier said than done, obviously.
Yeah.
And this is like something that can cycle over months and months and months and months. And the longer you let it get to you, the harder it is to break that cycle, essentially.
Yeah. So basically you have the way I'm breaking this down here and writing it down is, you have the thoughts, feelings, and actions, and the thought is the behavior trigger.
Yes. Right? So yeah, thoughts always trigger the
behavior, and then the behavior.
Feeling is the negative negativity that comes from that behavior thought. And then the actions are the negative things that we do,
essentially,
and take action on.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. So which will always happen, and which will always result in the same thing.
Right.
So you're stuck in this ugly cycle of doing the same thing over and over and over. And the only way to get out of that is the thought. The thought is what changes all of that. And obviously that's a process. That's changing your thought process over time. And that's not an easy thing to do. But once you're conscious, when you're conscious about what's going on in front of you and what you're struggling with, mm-hmm. that's how you identify that. Like when you're running down a behavior loop, it's hard to explain. We don't have it in front of you.
Yeah.
But basically what it is you understand what you keep going through over and over, and then you can identify what the problem is and how you as an individual can change it.
Well, you think of it like this. Okay. Let's think of a generic alcoholic or drug user at this point, right? So you do the drug, you think about doing the drug, you do the drug, and then all of a sudden you feel like a POS for doing the drug. And then that gives you depression or negative thoughts. And then you go back into this, I need to do the drugs. And then it's a vicious cycle, right? You never break it.
So I guess an example for this would be like, I want to quit using drugs. Mm-hmm. So the thought is I don't want to use drugs anymore. Mm-hmm. The feeling is I feel a lot better mm-hmm. if I don't use drugs.
Right.
But I don't know if I can do it.
Right.
And then the action is I use drugs.
Right. Right.
And then you go back and then, I feel like shit for using drugs.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to use drugs anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing over and over and over.
Right. Right.
Until you change that mindset to I'm not using drugs. And then I don't use drugs.
Right. Drugs are no good. Drugs make me feel this way. I don't want to feel this way.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs. And then
don't do drugs.
You basically fight through that behavior loop of feelings and action.
And you can always revert back, even in, again, that's why you get the relapses. It's not an easy thing. Like I said, the longer that addiction's taken over, mm-hmm. the longer that you let this loop continue, the harder it is to break that cycle. So it's a continuous thought process that you're going to have to bury into your brain.
Right. And a lot of these thought processes come from the same things that trigger us over and over again. We run into ourselves. We get in our own way, right?
Yeah. Another analogy, I guess, for the listeners who couldn't pick up on that one is standing in a bucket and trying to lift the bucket.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you're like, I'm going to lift this bucket.
Yeah.
Well, I'm weak. I can't lift this bucket. And you're still trying to lift this bucket that you're standing in. Mm-hmm. And then if you think outside the box or use critical thinking, which is your thought process, you'd be like, well, wait a minute. If I step out of the bucket, I'm able to, my feelings now say I can lift this bucket. My actions prove I was able to lift the bucket.
Right. And it really comes down to, again, I'm going to use it for a second time, but that support system, right? Because, okay, let's say that I was listening to a podcast today with Michael Schellenberger, which you guys got to listen to. This was a fantastic podcast about mental health and addiction. And basically what they were saying is it's like, you know, that whole, you're the five people you hang around with most, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about that in self-help books and entrepreneur books, and it's the same thing with addiction. So if you're in this negative feedback loop and you're surrounded by people who consistently trigger you to be in that negative feedback loop, and they're in their own negative feedback loop, you're just surrounded by toxicity.
You guys are creating mm-hmm. a circle of behavior.
Right. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to use a third bucket analogy, but it's the crabs in the bucket. Okay. Mm-hmm. The one goes to escape and they're just going to pull them right back in. Yeah. Right. Right. So you need to dissociate and detach yourself from these negative circumstances, put yourself into an environment that helps you understand who you are, what you're dealing with, but also doesn't trigger you every other emotion or feeling or thought that you have.
Yeah. Get out of the crab bucket and go to the cream bucket, because your cream's going to rise to the top.
Right. Exactly.
So, and to move away from the behavior loop, for people that don't understand what that means, it can be as simple as journaling mm-hmm. to understand who you are and mm-hmm. what's going on and what you want to overcome and what, and to identify what you're truly struggling with, because what you're truly struggling with might not actually be what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, for this individual, I know who this individual is. It's just like, okay, you got to really break down who you're hanging out with. It doesn't matter if it's your family, if it's your friends, if it's your boss, if these people who are in your life consistently shit on you and consistently want you to not succeed, then those are not the people to hang around with. Like, mm-hmm. Shane and I have talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast and in person. When you start hanging around with people who don't want to see you succeed or don't care to see you succeed, and then the complete opposite, that want to bring you down with them, why on earth would you want to surround yourself with those type of people?
And why do you think you feel the way that you feel?
Right. You feel the way that you feel because, like, for this individual circumstance, this guy's got a mindset that wants to expand. He wants to grow. He wants the best life he can give himself, but he feels guilty. That's imposter syndrome. That's what that is. That's it, feeling like I'm not worthy of success. I'm not worthy of a better life. I'm not worthy. And so again, when you feel that way, you get back into the behavior loop.
Yeah. Right? And then if you hang out with those people, they're going to pull you down with that even faster than you can imagine.
Yeah. Control, alt, delete, do a legitimate audit and inventory on who's in your life, what you're doing, where you're spending your money, and how you're conducting your own actions in life on an everyday basis.
Yeah. Sometimes I add on to that. Sometimes when you're trying to better yourself, sometimes you have to burn those bridges.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes, yeah. But throw gasoline on that bridge that's pulling you down. It's mm-hmm. telling you you're nothing, you're not going to be anything. Mm-hmm. Don't ever feel guilty about doing better for yourself or bettering your family or your life.
Yeah. I agree with that statement.
I've had to do it and I'm better off. Mm-hmm. It's plain and simple. Toxic relationships, mm-hmm. doesn't matter what it is, toxic is toxic.
Well, and it comes down to that complacency, because I've had people in my life that I've had to take out of my life because of the complacency.
They're happy where they are.
Yeah, I'm okay just doing the 9-to-5 thing and not really doing anything else. And you talk to me next Christmas, I'll be doing the exact same thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, never really pushing the needle or envelope in their life. And for me personally, to the person that's listening to this, that is enough for me to say this is a negative feedback loop.
Right.
And like, for things like, I'm exploring things right now in my personal life that's actually happening. I'm sorry, guys. I have a little bit of something in the back of the throat. Mm. There we go.
You do a lot of speaking tonight.
I did. Sorry. I apologize. but for me, I'm exploring other options, regarding my personal, professional life. Something completely out of the realm of what I'm used to, just to hit my main goal faster. Because I recognize that, where I'm at, what I'm doing, and a lot of other things that I'm doing, it's going to get me to my goal. But if I can accelerate that, make it quicker, and I have the option to do that, I'm going to take that option. Totally. Is it scary? Is it totally out of my realm of things? Yeah, 100%. Am I going to love it? Probably not, but it's going to get me to my main goal. And that's worth
it. You say it all the time, man. You got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And 100%. If you want to push the envelope in life and better yourself, there's going to be moments that you're probably talking to the mic.
I was like, you're sitting very far away from that.
There's going to be moments that you want to quit. There's going to be moments that you feel like, I should just, you know, live in this small, shitty area with all these people who keep bringing me down because this is all that life should give me. Mm. It's very difficult, you know, on the what you're talking about in your circumstance, it can be difficult to say, you know, if I take two steps back right now, I can get 10 steps forward.
100%.
Yeah. Because you get caught up in taking those two steps back and thinking, I'm just fucking my life up. Every time I take that step back, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that. And now you don't realize, if you just turn around, the whole, like, your whole future's in front of you, yeah, right? Yeah. You get stuck in that negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
I think we hammered that one home. Yeah. That's for sure.
Aim for the galaxies and you'll land up Pong Stars.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Right. I like that. It's a little bit different than the normal moon one. I like that. It's a little bit different. Yeah. Nerd.
I got that's roasted.
Toxic. That's toxic.
I got roasted when I said something like that.
Rod, how does one get out of a rut? Relationships, career, fitness, how does one motivate themselves to wanting to be better? It's very similar to what we just talked about, but I want to take it into a different direction with this one.
Oof.
What do you got?
Well, I'm being an athlete, so I guess I can use this as an analogy. If I was in a scoring rut in hockey, I would do everything completely different than what I did before.
Hijack the routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if I'm on a point streak, mm-hmm. I put everything on the same way. I take everything off the same way. Mm-hmm. I don't wash my equipment. Like, mm-hmm. and that's like your OCD thing, right? Mm-hmm. Superstition. Right. And then if I'm on a not like 0 points and hurting my team, mm-hmm. I'll flip everything different. So if I eat pasta before a hockey game, I switch it over to a burger and fries. Like I'll go greasy. Mm-hmm. And for some odd reason that always worked.
Yeah.
It never made sense to me. It's hockey gods, whatever you want to call it. It's just just do something different.
Have you ever heard of the book Atomic Habits? Mm-mm. Okay. It's by James Clear. It's a fantastic book. It'll actually help you in your career tenfold because it helped me understand addictions, mm-hmm. because he talks about addictions quite a bit. But one of the things you're doing when you're doing that is you're just hijacking your neural net. You're just being like, okay, instead of waking up at 7 a.m. and putting my running shoes on and doing this and doing that, I'm going to wake up and read a book. And what you're doing is you're doing something completely different. And then your brain kind of scrambles and it's got to figure itself out. But if you consistently do that, then you can create these new, better habits. And basically, what you need to do and what you're saying there is just like, if it's not working, just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really easy to change. I can't say that. It's not easy to change your routine, but it's easy to make the decision to say, I want to do X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And then there are simple things that you can do in your life. Like instead of going to Boston Pizza and having pasta, you just order a burger and fries one night.
Yeah.
That little difference is going to change everything.
Yeah. For me, I've recently was in a rut. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'm out of that rut now.
Yeah.
For me, what I had to do, and this is just personally, this doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. And I say that every time, so I'm sorry that I don't have the answers for, you know, everyone, cause I don't, but this is what worked for me. I sat in the shit, you know, I sat in the shit for a day. I felt sorry for myself. I think that was very important for this process. And then after that, the next day, I slowed everything down in my life. I slowed down work. Not that I was doing a bad job or that I was giving up. I slowed it down. And then I prioritized the most important things in my life that I needed in front of me. You know, when it came to my professional life, it was family first. There was not really an issues with that in rut ways. So I didn't really worry about that. That priority didn't need to be prioritized at that time because that was good.
Right.
For me, it was the other stuff. So I sat in the crap. I slowed it down and then I prioritized everything and I worked myself out slowly. So once I started checking off the boxes as the days went by, I was like, okay, I have that dealt with. Move that out of the way. That is no longer a priority because I've made it priority one and it's done. Move on to the next thing. Totally. So it's checking off the boxes slowly, slowly, slowly until you work yourself out of that rut.
Yeah, that's the way I try to explain that to people when they're like overwhelmed. It's like, slow down.
Yeah.
Slow everything down. What's the next thing that you should do? Right. And that's like, all you did.
For me, normally it's like, go, 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 go. Like, and that's just who I am. And I enjoy that. That's when I'm running on all cylinders, mm-hmm. that's how I work.
Yeah.
And I recognize when I'm in those ruts and, you know, whatever it was that took me down, I can't even identify what it was.
Right.
It was a plethora of things that just kind of hit me at once.
Yeah.
And once I worked my way out of it, it's like, I'm back to that normal self. Go, 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 go. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, just slow it down, you know, take that breath, you know, and understand that the world can stop for you mm-hmm. if you let it.
Right.
So
right.
That's your decision.
Yeah. What do we got to focus on right now? Yeah. We got to take the kid to hockey practice. Okay. We're going to do that. And then we're going to be in the moment. Yeah. And then after this, then I'm going to go for dinner with the wife. Okay. I'm not worried about 10 steps ahead. Right. So is that what you mean by slowing it down?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, exactly like that. Just more on a deeper level. Obviously mm-hmm. that was very surface level stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But obviously it was more than that for me.
Right. Right.
But yeah, mm-hmm. that is a good way. That's a good example to put it out there, but more like, identify the really important things in your life.
Right.
And then break them off.
What are those values? Yes, right.
What's important to you? What do you value the most? And what is the priority one? And deal with that.
I recently had somebody ask me, they were like, you never text me back. I'm like, call me. Yeah. I will sit there for an hour and talk to you.
Yeah.
Because if you really need to do something or talk to me, you'll just call me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless we're setting up a meeting. But then the meetings I'm calling you or meeting you in person.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like anytime Rod needs something, he's calling me.
Yeah.
Anytime you need something, you call me.
Yeah.
So when I hear things like that, it's like, well, that's my core value mm-hmm. is communication, mm-hmm. not via text message or email. It's about real communication and understanding and solving problems and approaching things. So, you know, when you say sit in the shit, you know, I've also done that, yeah. you know, you've actually helped me with that. In the past. And one of the things that I realized is when I sit in the shit, it almost is like if I had to write down a list and put a box beside each thing, I can just go through it.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. what sitting in the shit really
yeah,
means.
Yeah. And that's essentially, yeah, exactly what I said is mm-hmm. just, you know, identify everything. If you have to write it down, yep. If you can do it in your head or whatever, the best practice possible for whoever's dealing with whatever they're dealing, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Didn't Mike Warden say that a couple of weeks ago, turning off the TVs. You have all these TVs off and then
negotiating.
Out, negotiate. Yeah. And figure out which TV is the most important.
That's right.
Turn all the other ones off. Focus on this TV.
Negotiating that's cool. with yourself.
Yeah. And then continue on as until you
totally
take yourself out of the shit.
One of the things that I realize is anytime I fall into those ruts, it's because I'm not following my journal or my critical task list. Yeah. So anybody that knows business or entrepreneur has heard of Andy Frisella. He owns First Form Nutrition Supplement Superstore in the States. He calls it the critical task list. He does 3, I do 5. If I can get those 5 things in a day, my day is awesome. So I do 5 things personally, 5 things for business.
Yeah.
So if I can get a grant written, if I can get a document dropped off for a client signed in out of the signature, send those 2 important emails and make that 1 phone call, 5 things done. I don't care if it's 11 in the morning, I'm not doing any more work. And that might sound asinine to some people, but what it really comes down to is like, I do that every single day, Monday through Monday, it does not stop. And what you realize is like, you get a lot more things done when you focus on those little things, like you said, slowing it down.
Right. Yeah. Once I work through my stuff, like my productivity at work, at home, everything is just like blew up, you know, like, and it's, you know, people just don't understand how easy it really is mm-hmm. once you can kind of prioritize your life slowly.
Totally.
I had a prof two years ago, and it was in our communications class. And when we did our SMART goals, which a lot of people are doing now, he's like, the reason why most people fail on their SMART goals is because they have this massive goal at the end. Mm-hmm. He's like, instead of having this massive goal at the end, break it down into assignments, break it down into discussions.
Yeah.
And like you said, small little individual boxes, and it's a lot easier. And next thing you know, this big, massive goal that you had at the end turns out to be a little ticky.
Well, when we first met, I explained what the 12-week year looked like. Mm-hmm. And this is a business analogy, but basically you want to accomplish what you need to accomplish in a year in 12 weeks. And then you write that down. And you're like, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to get all that done in 12 weeks. What you're supposed to do is break it down by 3 months, then a week, and then by day. And then you realize that in a day, you can get a lot done.
Yeah.
You know, and it's surprising what you can do when you quote unquote reverse engineer it or slow it down.
Yeah. So on an example for that, even for myself today is, I brought forward a lot of my stuff. Like I use my calendar for work, mm-hmm. like religiously, like that's my Bible. So I don't forget things because, you know, there's a lot going on. I have to prioritize my day.
Right.
What's the most important thing and get that done first. Mm-hmm. So at the morning, I was already moving meetings and stuff to Friday. Mm-hmm. And I got everything done that I needed to. And I've just was steady. Mm-hmm. I didn't pound out work for the day. I was just steady going through my stuff. And I had like 2 hours left of the day. And I was like,
Holy moly.
Let's bring that back. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's deal with that. And now all of a sudden Friday, I have an open day to do whatever I need to.
Right. Right.
So mm-hmm. it's like, it's the perfect scenario. Yeah. You just slow everything down. Mm-hmm. You be steady, you know, don't have to hyper-focus all the time.
Right.
Sometimes you have to, mm-hmm. especially if you got deadlines to meet and stuff like that. But now I'm kind of steady and I don't have anything majorly coming up right now. So if I'm just steadily working on things, like things can get checked off really, really quick.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to break down this question one more time in regards to say, let's talk about fitness for an example. And I'm going to be really aggressive of what I'm going to say. Just go do it.
Yeah.
Literally just, most people spend most of their time thinking about what they want to do.
Yeah.
Right. I should probably go for a run. Where should I go run? What app should I download? What shoes should I get? No, just put on your shoes and run around the block.
Don't see what happens. Put on your shoes. Go downstairs and do some squats.
Yeah.
Do some air squats.
I was watching this podcast Jocko was on and the guy asked him how he gets up every day at 4:30. He's like, I just fucking do it. Like that's just, like it's just
straightforward.
I just go do it, man. Like I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go get up at 4:30 in the morning and go work out. Yeah. But every workout, I feel amazing.
You never regret it.
No. And so that's kind of been my approach with everything. Another approach that I felt like is, listen, I'm going to be sore after my workout. I'm going to be tired if I do 5 extra emails before bed tonight. I know that I'm going to be, exhausted if I go do a football practice with my kids and then go do more work and then spend time with them. These things are going to happen. And I have options, right? And that option is I'm going to feel like garbage and exhausted at the end of the day, or I can beat myself up for not doing any of the things that I need to do.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Because at the end of the day, the end of the day is still here.
Yeah.
It's still going to be midnight. It's still going to be 5 a.m.
And how are you going to feel if you left things in the rear view?
Totally. Yeah. So for me, it's about realizing that you know what? If I miss a workout, it is what it is. Start again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I realize that I can tell myself that every single day and I'm never going to improve.
Which,
and then I have to be.
Which turns into a behavior loop.
Yeah. It right back to the negative habits and complacency.
It is actually really shocking at how
accurate
your behavior loop like that. When I first heard that, I'm like, really, does that really make sense? And then when you started thinking about every action that people do, or how they react to stuff, mm-hmm. goes right back to
thoughts, feelings, actions.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's about just taking action,
mm-hmm. which
it doesn't matter what it is. Like if I have to get, we've been working on grants lately.
Yeah. We have.
Yeah. We're professional grant writers. One of the things that I'll say to that is it's like, and you know this, mm-hmm. nobody wants to sit in front of a computer screen and just fill out a pre-filled document. Mm-mm. It is the worst. It doesn't matter if it's for a doctor or for these grants. It doesn't matter. No. They're the worst. But I knew that I just had to go and do it.
Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Right. Because it's going to take 6 hours we worked on it in total in without research. So maybe with research, 10 hours.
Yeah. Top end.
So 10 hours out of our time, it's done.
Yeah.
We're good.
To crank out more than you'd ever thought that you could.
Yeah. It's just so when you just go do stuff and take action, results are going to come no matter what. I'll tell a story. In January of this year, I had gone to the gym, started back in the gym about 5 or 6 different times. It wasn't until January of this year, January 1st, where I was like, every single day I'm going to exercise this year, every single day. I haven't missed a day, whether it's 45 minutes of active stretching, yoga, running, it doesn't matter. I push my body to its limits every single day or try to. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is in the beginning, even when I was doing it every day, it was like, should I do this? Should I do that? And then when I realized 6 weeks later, I was just in a groove. I was like, oh, I just feel good. Yeah. Like everything's clicking right now. Yeah. And the only thing I was doing differently every day was I was working out.
Yeah.
So when you just go and do something, things in life kind of just start doing itself and, you know, taking over, and they start coming to fruition by itself because you're creating better habits for yourself.
Yeah. The minute that you let go of those habits, that's when things start going to shit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So how does one overcome hyperfixation on necessary things or tasks that have no place in being in the routine or life? It's causing me to lose track of my goals and things I want to accomplish and need to accomplish. It's causing issues in my relationship and personal life. So hyperfixation on unnecessary things or tasks. So basically like getting sidetracked.
Start prioritizing your day. We talked about this already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like just, you know, look, what do you want to accomplish in a day? What does that look like? Write it down. Check that shit off as you go.
And then if you wanted to even extend that even more, another teacher that I have or had is said, do a weekly plan. Mm-hmm. There's, I can't even remember now. I used it so many times and I should remember the number off the top of my head. I think there's like 168 hours in a week. Break down your week. Automatically. Automatically take 64 hours, 8x7. Yeah. 64 hours or whatever it is. Right off the top for sleep. Mm-hmm. And then figure out everything else.
Yeah.
Right.
That's perfect.
You got 40 hours in a week, roughly, let's say even 45, if you work a couple extra hours at work. So now you're already at 100 and some hours. Mm-hmm. Now you've got 30 hours roughly left in your week.
You'd be surprised how much time you have left over.
Yeah. I plan 2 weeks in advance for my job to prioritize what is important, what needs to be done. And I see the goal in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what is needs to be, what I think needs to be done in 2 weeks gets done in a week. Mm-hmm. And then I have a whole week ahead of to, you know,
replan
to replan and hash everything and keep going.
Have you guys ever heard of the Eisenhower matrix?
No.
Do, don't, delegate, like it's highly important, that sort of thing. Yeah. When I started doing that, it was like, I was doing so much crap in my day that I was hyper fixated on that I didn't need to do, guys. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need to send 20 emails a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to send the important emails in a day.
Yeah.
I don't need to make 30 phone calls in a day. I need to make 3 or 4 important ones. When you start doing things that are like unnecessary, track it, first of all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The second thing I'll say to this conversation is, number one, you need a reward system for yourself, always. Number two, you need a decompression system for yourself, always.
Yeah.
My reward system is knowing that I can spend as much time with my family if I get my workout, my job, and my extracurriculars done. Mm-hmm. So after tonight, I won't have time tonight, but I know that on Friday and Saturday, I can spend time with my wife because I'm getting this stuff out of the way, right? Now the decompression, when I go home tonight, I'm going to spend an hour, no screens, reading a book, journaling, decompressing my mind, have a bite to eat, relax, right? Give yourself a reward system and give yourself a decompression system. Yeah. That also helps a lot with hyperfixation because it actually calms down your mind. Yeah. Right. And it gives you something to strive for and reward yourself with.
Yeah. And I kind of give that to me, I guess, inadvertently, without thinking about it. But now that we're talking about it, I do that. So Sunday to Wednesday, I'm pretty much packed full throughout the day, all day, every day.
Yeah.
So Thursday, Friday is kind of like my slowdown. Still work hard during my work weeks, but at night I kind of slow it down.
Sometimes that decompression.
We have our meetings at night and we have a few things to do, but I keep it light. Mm-hmm. You know, I get my workouts in, I do what I need to, but that's just part of my day. That's just something that I don't even think about because it's
part of you.
Just already do it.
Yeah.
It's part of my routine. And then Saturday, I tend to be a little more productive. I clean the house. I get, you know, I fix things that need to be fixed around the house. Mm-hmm. I play with my kids. We go and do something fun because like that's kind of our day to go out and whatever it might be, go to a park, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday is a total family day, slow down. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm recharged for the week.
Yeah. The rewards could be something as simple as, I'm assuming a lot of our listeners are coffee drinkers. Mm-hmm. Let me get this done. Hit a Timmy's. Yeah. Come home, finish it up, hit a Timmy's. Mm-hmm. Go do another thing. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Spill your coffee.
Spill a coffee, place. Freak out on the next person.
One thing that I liked and what you actually do is you buy yourself little trinkets. Like you buy watches, right? Or you're a golfer. You might go, you know, those Pro V1s, man.
Titleist sucks. I'm a Callaway guy.
So this guy's like, he just doesn't know anything about golf. But you know, it's just like, for me, it's just like, oh, I'm going to, I like treating myself to like a nice good meal. Mm-hmm. So me and the wife will order like a nice high-end restaurant meal for our date night. And like, that's legit, man. That's my little treat. Mm-hmm. But I give myself the reward of being like, hey man, if you're disciplined, now I diet not for looks or physicality, but for discipline factor. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I'm disciplined all week long, I deserve that meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm not, I don't deserve that. And I know having that meal, I'm going to feel like you didn't deserve this, man.
Yeah.
So I keep myself in this mentality of reward system, decompress myself, reward system, decompress myself. Yeah. And that allows me to keep focused on my goals and keep calm when I need to keep calm. The next one, and this is a controversial one when I read it. It's not really controversial per se, but there's a very significant difference we have to make here. How does one overcome death or separation of a significant other? Can we as men ever truly move on or regain that connection with someone else? We need to really distinguish the fact between a breakup and a death.
Yeah.
That's a huge determining factor.
Yeah. These are two very separate things.
First of all, what I'll say about death is death can happen at any time. Mm-hmm. Your relationship could be perfect and that person could be taken from you.
Something I worry about daily.
Yeah. Yeah. So like
being a father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And married.
You nailed it. That's something that's one of my biggest fears, right? Yeah. That is so much different when it comes to moving on than a breakup.
Yeah.
I've been engaged twice, married once. And what I can tell you is based on a relationship, you get over that shit. You always will.
Yeah.
I don't care if you've been with your significant other 20 years, 25 years, you will get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're out of that relationship, you're going to realize how toxic you were. Did you put up with it that long?
My parents were together for 18 years. They divorced and they moved on with significant others and they don't even think of each other anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen.
There's literally not a second thought.
Right. I know people who have lost their significant other. I know people who have lost their ex significant other. And the two of those are even different.
Oh yeah.
Right. So the death of an ex and the death of a significant other, that conversation is even different.
Yeah.
So I think the gentleman who's asking this, when you listen to this podcast, you have to understand that death and a breakup are completely different. And to ever bring the two in the same conversation, we can't do that. Death, I don't care. Grieving is up to the person. I don't care if it's a 50 years or 5 hours. That is up to that person to make that decision. Now a breakup, now we can have a conversation, gentlemen. What do you think about the breakup and regaining a connection with somebody else after a relationship has ended?
Okay, I guess I'll go first. Throw me on the spot, eh?
Yeah.
With a breakup, it depends on how the breakup was.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you came home after work and found your ex in bed with someone else,
mm-hmm.
probably going to say fuck you,
mm-hmm.
straight up.
Probably a lot easier to move on.
Right? Mm-hmm. If
yes, it's going to suck, but it's going to be,
it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
If it's a mutual breakup,
mm-hmm.
it might be different. Yeah. Now
one breaks up and the other person doesn't want to.
Yeah. And when it comes to like our society now, it's easier to find something else before you move on from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which when you break up with someone, it's a lot harder for one person to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I know with myself, I was in a toxic relationship with my ex.
Mm-hmm.
I believe now looking back at it, it was a very narcissistic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter what I did.
It was both of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what I did. It was never good enough.
Right.
Right. Work away from home.
Which led you to being a toxic human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It was bad for me. I was literally, I drank. It was, I can't remember. There was a saying, and being in a toxic relationship is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies from it.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's all I was doing. I was fed into it. It was horrible. It took me to getting away. And I was so caught into a narcissistic game that it was me realizing how bad of a person I was starting to turn into. Mm-hmm. I was starting to fall into my old ways. Right. Go out and party all the time. Mm. When we first split up, I wanted to go and do the drugs. I wanted to sleep with anybody.
You're saying something we already talked about. You fell into that negative feedback loop.
Yeah.
The behavior
loop. It all goes to the behavior loop every time.
Right. And then it took my wife now,
mm-hmm.
just to one day reaching out to me on Facebook. How are you doing?
Right.
And then we started talking and realizing that being in a toxic relationship, you need, going back to support, mm-hmm. right? So when I was supporting, or when she was supporting me through this, I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome.
Right.
And a friendship turned into likes turned into love. And now I'm here, mm-hmm. bettering myself, becoming a better person, human, husband, father, and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that if we went to bed tonight and she died in her sleep, mm-hmm. Johnny Cash syndrome, mm-hmm. it would be within months that I would die. Not because, I would just die, mm-hmm. but I would die from a broken heart.
Right. Right.
Which is totally different. Now, in the same sense, we have a daughter. So what I know, yeah. like now I, right? right. But then it goes back to a death thing. Mm-hmm. Right. But that breakup thing, like if she was on fire, my ex, I probably wouldn't put her out mm-hmm. because right. it was that much of a toxic relationship.
Like right? you had to move on.
Yeah. And yeah, I had yeah. to burn those bridges. Yeah.
Completely dissociate yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that could go for any relationship. It doesn't have to be a significant other. It doesn't have to be girlfriend, boyfriend. I had to cut bridges with my mom's, my sister, mm-hmm. right? Because it was toxic. I was only hurting myself and the people that mattered around right. me.
It's funny when you say that, because like, when I think of like that statement, you know, about your ex, it's just like, I know exes that I've been with who are still just as toxic today. Mm-hmm. And that's a true statement. It's just like, yeah, I can't help you.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, I understand what you're saying, Rod, because I there's no way, like if you ever needed help in life, I couldn't help you. Mm-hmm. There's also exes in my life where I look at them. I'm like, you bettered yourself. Good for you. Mm-hmm. You're happy. You got a kid, your family, you're loving, you're obviously what you went through with me is something that you needed to learn.
That was a learning experience.
Yeah. So for you, I'll put mm-hmm. that fire out. Right. So I think it really comes down to who the person is. Right.
Yeah.
And the growth. Here's what I'll say. That's very controversial. And most men don't want to hear, but we talk about it all the time up here. It's take some goddamn ownership of your side of the relationship.
Yeah.
I've been in the relationships afterwards and I'm like, she's this, she's that, she's a horrible human being. It was her fault. And then 5 years later, I'm like, yeah, I was basically a roommate who's just paying bills and wanting sex.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I was also a part of this problem. Mm-hmm. Most guys don't want to hear that. We've had guys in our peer that are, you know, that don't come back because they heard something negative like that and they took it to heart. And you know, they come back 6-8 weeks later and they're like, yeah, what you said or what you guys talked about, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I needed to focus on what I was doing. And I know our friend of the show, Wayland, he said the exact same thing. You know, when he first heard it, he cried and he didn't show up for another 3 months. And then all of a sudden now he's a regular. So these are the type of conversations that men need to hear. It's also our fault. Right. Yeah. So when it comes to that separation or that death, mm-hmm. it's very hard to have closure with death. It's very easy to have closure when there's a separation, specifically for yourself.
Yeah.
It's very easy to recognize if you're willing to have an open mind, like you talked about earlier tonight, to look at the situation and say, I made mistakes. This is what I'm trying to change and willing to learn.
Yeah, getting hit with that accountability train is basically what's going to help you grow into your new relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Last one of the night. Friend of mine, this was from my personal Facebook. I was talking about the podcast. She wants to know, how does one deal with isolation? And I asked whether it was based on the pandemic or whether it was based on circumstances in life or just where she lives. And she said, all of the above.
All right, let's open this up.
I want to talk about isolation regarding depression and mental health. Because I know a lot of people who, well, you see the memes and the pictures all the time. I want to wrap myself up in a blanket. I just want to be alone. I just want to spend the weekend talking to nobody. And I don't know. I have some mixed feelings about that. I also have my opinion on it. Rod, I'd love to hear that opinion on isolation or self-isolation based on mental health.
Okay. Well, with self-isolation, it all depends. Sometimes people just need to disconnect with people for a day just to recharge themselves. Right. And sometimes that could just be saying, fuck it, going, like you said, wrapping yourself up in a blanket, grabbing a tub of ice cream and watching movies and gorging yourself for a while.
Self-love.
Yeah. You know? Self-love. And that's a huge thing, which one, males don't really don't do that often. And that results in other issues later on down the road. Another one, like just for isolation in itself with the pandemic, you've seen a lot of guys going through it, females too. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget them, kids now, right? Sometimes it's just like for myself, my release when our first lockdown was playing video games online.
Right.
Right. It had like, I was still isolated from everybody, but hearing other voices other than the people in your house, yeah. Which
that was a big one huge. For me. That was a big one for me.
Yeah. It didn't matter. Just hearing other people's voices, which I mean, you're not seeing them on face to face, but it was other conversations with people. Like I love my wife dearly. And I would like, it was,
there's a butt coming, but,
but there was no like talking and seeing the same person over and over and over and over again, day in, day out and having the same conversations, but nothing new, right? Because everyone is at home.
Right.
Like, what are you supposed to do?
And basically half the time at the beginning of the pandemic, you were talking about the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right.
And then after a while, you get redundant and get complacent in your stories, right? That's, I'm assuming, one reason why divorce rates have went up since the pandemic started.
Totally.
Right? You get sick and tired.
Like, oh, I didn't really like you.
Yeah.
Basically what happened.
You get sick and tired of talking to the same person over and over and over again.
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming, based on what I'm about to say here, you guys feel the same. It was the complete opposite for me and my wife. Me and my wife became even closer.
Yes.
Yeah. Like obviously there was days where we're like pulling our hair out with the kids and whatnot, but all it was like, oh, I feel like we know each other better.
Yeah.
Like, and that was a huge opportunity for me.
Yeah. We found, as weird and cliche as it's going to sound, we got to know each other better. We thought we knew each other pretty good, but being stuck in the same place for so long,
right.
It almost felt like Big Brother.
Right.
But no one was getting evicted. It's just one of those things where either three things were going to happen. One, you're going to come out hating each other. Mm-hmm. Two, you're going to fall deeper in love. Mm-hmm. Or three, you're just going to stay stagnant and nothing really changes.
Right.
Luckily for me, with my soulmate, and now she's like, we still have her fights like every other relationship does, and arguments, squabbles, right? But we know now, like, we're still figuring each other out.
Totally.
Right. I mean,
I think that never changes.
That's a full journey, right? Like, marriage isn't a sprint anymore, right? Where before it was married, you stayed with them no matter what. Today's society says, oh, you're having issues. Well, go there.
Yeah.
There's a new person over there and right. And you're just, it's not the saying the grass is always greener on the other side.
It's never greener.
Which is never greener. It's greener where you work.
It's bingo, bango, bongo. Like that couldn't have been said any better. It's greener where you want to water it, man.
Yep. And with people with the isolation, like if you're single, totally different story now, right? I mean, the way they did it was single people, you know, had one other family you can go and see.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, I'm not single, so I can't really say anything about it. But my big thing was it would be getting online and video games.
Yeah, this is what I'll say about the isolation regarding just relationships or in general. Isolation is everything in life is based on the perspective that you want to look at it with. So if you want to look at marriage as being the best thing ever, you can look at it through that lens. If you think marriage is the worst decision a person's ever done, you can look at it through that lens. For me, if you would have asked me 5 years ago when I was depressed and suicidal, how I felt about isolation, I would have been like, don't let me be alone. Today, if you said to me, Dylan, you're going to go in the wilderness for 30 days, I'd be like, sign me up, because I have a different perspective on life. Yeah. And I realize in those moments of isolation and feeling like you're alone, those are moments where you get to sit with your deepest, darkest thoughts and manifest it and create something that you want to in life and find opportunities in that shit. And when it's also a mental struggle, you start looking at your life as in like, oh, I can get through anything. If I can get through my own mind and my own thoughts, I can accomplish anything I yeah. want to in life. So I guess it's all based on the perspective that that person wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. For me, I went from an extrovert to an introvert through mm-hmm. the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be positive. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because I was able to strengthen the circles that I wanted to, and I was able to release the people in my life that I wanted to as well.
Right.
People that I identified that bring value to my life and that I bring value to theirs. That has kind of helped my growth in a lot of ways and what I want to accomplish in my life. And, you know, the people that were dragging me down or just, you know, not wanting to uplift their own lives.
Yeah. It's a value exchange.
That's right. So yeah. like I found this as a positive. I was able to prioritize what was important to me and get rid of the people that, you know, that just didn't provide the value that I needed.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Know your worth, know your value. Don't settle for anything less.
Absolutely.
And I think once being by myself and understanding that and having that time to think, it was way easier to identify that stuff. So, you know, that's what my advice would be when it comes to isolation is, you know, set your goals, what's important to you, who's important to you, and focus on that, the other stuff, get it out of your life.
Well, boys, we had an awesome podcast, 8 questions, hour and 10 minutes in. Closing thoughts, Rod?
Goes back to whatever happens in your life, your mind can be either your biggest supporter mm-hmm. or your worst enemy.
That perspective, right?
Yeah. Look at your issue with an open mind. Mm-hmm. You could be talking to someone and they could say something. And you're like, that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing how many times that's happened to me in the last year and a half with that mindset.
Yeah. One aha moment is going to lead to the next.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. Shane?
That's really all I had to say. just did it right there.
All righty, boys. Well, thanks for doing this tonight, guys. I appreciate you guys being here. Good job with the ITTM. And again, we're going to announce the dates for that.
January 5th.
January 5th.
2021.
Awesome.
2022. That's the next year, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for doing this. Everybody else, bye-bye.